Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Lamed Hey, and we were talking about what we learned out from Orla To, and we went through these various inyonim. So only an Orla Vada is Doche Shabbos, and not an Androgynous, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, an Androgynous is Doche Shabbos. Not only that, if he dies as an Orel, he's considered to be a Zocher Vadai, and he's Chayev Karet. Now, let's go back to the Braita again and finish it up. So we're up to Orlato Vadai Doche Et HaShabbat. That's where we got up to. If he has a definitely Orla, so then we're going to see what that means. So then he would be Doche Shabbos, but let me give you some cases when we say the difference between a Vadai and a Safek. For instance, suppose he was born Bein HaShmashot. I'm not quite certain that he was born on the previous Shabbat. I mean, I don't know, maybe it was Friday or maybe it was Sunday because it was between the Shkia and the Tzeit HaKochavim over there, since we know that the time of the Bein HaShmashot is a Safek, so then he would not be Doche Shabbos. And another example is an Orla, which is a Vadai Orla, would be Doche Shabbos. But how about if he's born without a foreskin? Then it's not Doche Shabbos. What does that have to do with Vadai and Safek? I'll tell you why. Because look, Beit Shammai says that normally, if someone is born without a foreskin, that the halacha is that Tzorech Latif Mimenu Dam Brit. You have to make certain that you get some blood out of his penis, at least. We'll see why that is. Beit Hillel Omrim Eino Tzorech. You don't need to. So because of that, and it's going to turn out that itself is a problem in a certain suffix. And what is that suffix? Well, we have two basic approaches to the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that even Beit Hillel is Meida, you definitely would need to be Matif Dam Brit. And remember, the Pasuk says, Gam Ad Bedam Britich. And again, we'll talk about this more in detail later. But that everybody is Meida, that if there was no Mila that was done, then you would have to be Matif Bimenu Dam Brit. Why? Because Mipnesha Orlak Vushahi. Because what we understand that has happened, now this means maybe. Okay, this is how Rashi understands the whole thing. Then we'll talk about in the Gemara exactly whether it was a maybe or a vadai. But because maybe what we are looking at as a nolad mohul is not really a nolad mohul, but that actually what we're taking to be the glands of his penis is really an orla. It's just that it's very kavush. It's been pressed into the normal skin, which is more of is actually a mucous membrane. And it looks to us like he doesn't have an orla, but maybe he does. And if he does, then because of that maybe, you would have to actually be matif mimenu dam brit. Now, you may ask, what the heck is the use of being matif dam brit if the kid has an orla that cannot be removed surgically? So basically, and there are a number of different approaches in the Rishonim, but the way to understand this is probably as follows. There are two completely different dinim that affect the issue of whether someone is nimal or not. One is that he is what we call mohul and doesn't have an orla. And the other would be to remove from him the din of an orel. Now, those are not necessarily one and the same. In other words, in order to eat a carbon pesach, he cannot be an orel. Now, there'd be two ways for him to be an orel, to actually have a foreskin, or to not have a visible foreskin, but never to have had a brit. So that brit, as we'll see, I mean, this would be nogea, let's say, a goy, that his foreskin was removed when he was a goy, when he was born, whatever, surgically, and now he becomes a Jew. So the question is, okay, where is the removal of the status of the orel that was his as a goy? Will he never be able to eat a carbon pesach? Will this child who may have a crushed-in orla that we'll never be able to separate, if we suspect it's there, we'll never be able to figure out how to separate it. So the removal of the din of an orel, that orel zachar is osur to do X, Y, or Z, he doesn't have a din of an orel. Why? Because you specifically went to be batif dam brit. That doesn't mean you were mekayim the mitzvah of milah on him. That's something else. So the two may be two completely different chiyuvim. So over here, but the question would be, even Alibi de Beit Shammai, who says that you would have to be mativ dam brit, since it's a suffix, that's the way we're understanding, you know? So since it's a suffix, that's what we're included in, we don't do a chilul Shabbos. According to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, actually, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel never argued about that. For sure, you do have to do Hatofas Dambris, at least normally during the week, Mipnesha Orla Kvusha, because we're concerned maybe it is an Orla Kvusha. The case where there would be an argument was where we know it's not an Orla Kvusha, because we're talking about a ger who was an adult already, who had a removal of his foreskin, we won't call it a brit, but he went through a surgical removal of his foreskin, so he was mohul, so to speak. We're over there, Beit Shammai says, okay, so you would have to be matif bimenu dam brit in order for him to take on the normal dinim of how a ger becomes a ger. So we have to do at least something. Whereas Beit Hillel says, even in that case, we do not matif dam brit, because what's the point of being matif dam brit from something other than an orla? So we don't do hatafas dam brits. Okay, so now let's go back to the case that we had before of all of the sfeikas. I don't quite understand. The Braita says, lo safek doche et ha-shabbat. And then it starts giving us all of the cases of the safek, right? No lat kishu ma'ol, nice bottle there. No lat kishu ma'ol would be one case. Another case would be safek ben hashmoshes. Fine, very nice. But what was the first thing? The first thing was a general klal. I mean, obviously it's including something. What case was that included? That's including another issue. And this is based on the following braita. Ben Shiva, Mechalalina Lavat HaShabbat, Uben Shmona, Ein Mechalalina Lavat HaShabbat. Now, this probably means, certainly is brought in halacha that way, for nothing to do with Mila. In general, if a Ben Shiva, a child, is born in the seventh month, so then we will be Mechalal Shabbos for that child the way we would be for anybody else. But a child that is born in the eighth month of a 9-month gestation, in mechalalin alav et ha-shabbat, because remember again that in ancient times there were two gestational periods, one of 7 months and one of 9 months. A early birth in a 7th month gestation survives. A premature birth in a 9-month gestation did not at that time survive, and they did not have the modes of being able to ensure survival. So basically what you're looking at when you're looking at a premature delivery of a normal gestation is you're looking at a piece of meat. You're not looking at a human being, although it appears to be a human being and so on, because it doesn't have any chiyus. If there's a suffix, whether he's a ben shiva or a suffix ben shmona, so then when it comes to the dinim of Shabbos, this is what we were referring to. Then, that's what our mission, and this is not the Bryce, this is what we're explaining. Then, ein mechalalin alav et ha-shabbat. So, the point over here would be that a ben shmona, for all intents and purposes, so if we know that he's a ben shmona, so then he's basically like a piece of rock on Shabbos. A piece of rock on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move. So you can't even move him. Aval imo shocha uminikato. His mother can bend over him, not by moving him to bring him to her breasts, but can bend over so that she could get her nipple into his mouth, because if he doesn't nurse, she is likely to get a breast infection, and that's mipnei hasakana to the mother, but not to the child. In any event, as Tosis points out, none of this is nogea lahalacha, because, first of all, we don't have the means of discerning whether it's meant the child is a ben shmona or a delayed ben sheva. So there's no way for us to really know. And therefore, we have to treat all infants as being viable. And also, I mean, because if he's a ben sheva, he just would have been born super well formed. And besides that, as is brought also la locha, we now have the ways in which we can keep even a very severely premature infant alive, and therefore we do whatever we can. He's no longer considered to be an Evan Bialma. Anyway, so now getting back to the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, we have two approaches, right? So we have the Tadakama and we have Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So Rav says, well, the approach lahalacha is like Beit Hillel, the way that the Tanakhama, which was the first, the way it was originally presented in the Braita, about whether bichlal there's a din of atofas dambris of a neilad mohel. But according to the second pshat, which was Reb Shimon ben Elazar, everybody agreed that you definitely need a tafas dambris, and the only machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai was whether you need a tafas dambris, even where you're talking about a ger that definitely does not have an orla. So what happened once is that Reb Ada bar Ava had a child who was born when he was mohel. Because of his interpretation, as we'll see how he got to that, because of his interpretation, he was convinced that he needed to make sure, even though the bris came out, the 8-day came out on Shabbos, he needed to make sure that he would remove this orla kvusha. Now, this is, we'll see, it doesn't seem to work out according to anybody. And he went to 13 different mo'alim. All of them absolutely refused to have anything to do with this because they held, understand, where is there a heter to be mechalal Shabbos for a child who's nolad mohel? As we'll see, and they'll talk it out. He was convinced that no, you do. So he decided he's going to try to remove this orla himself, and he really messed up, and he ended up mutilating the kid, turned him into a krut shavcha, and he said, I deserve it. Because basically, I was a mechalal Shabbos because I didn't do what Rav said I should do. Because Rav had paskin like the Tanakhama, according to which there's no din bichlal of going ahead and removing or doing hatafas dam bris. Omalei Reb Nachman, so Reb Nachman said to him, well, what do you mean you were over on Rav? You were over on everybody, man. Nobody said that you could do that on Shabbos. Where'd you get that from? Vade Shmuel lo avar? All that Shmuel said was, is that you require, like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, you require Hatovas Dambris. Why? Because maybe it's an Orla Kvusha. But he certainly didn't say to me, Michal Shabbos, what were you doing? What were you thinking? B'Shabbos mi'amar. Now, Reb Ada obviously had a completely different understanding of this whole thing. Because, look, nobody said the words that were Chayshesh in Reb Shimon ben Elazar. He held that Reb Shimon Elazar was saying that, no, there's definitely an Orla Kvusha, which is why everybody, even Beit Hillel, would be saying you definitely need to do Atavas Dambris. And so because of that, he held that you could even be Mechal Shabbos, at least the way that Shmuel was understanding it, which is Reb Shimon ben Elazar. And the truth is that he wasn't the only one who understood it this way. That when Shmuel said the halach is like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, he meant that there is vada and orla kvusha, according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar's understanding, in the machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, and therefore even Beit Hillel was meida, as opposed to a case where you have a goy, where over there he wasn't neilad mohel, we know that we took off the orla 20 years before he became a ger. But if you're talking about someone who's nolad mohel, that there, everybody agrees, there's definitely an orla kvusha. There's no such thing as being nolad without ever having formed a foreskin. And it just isn't. This is a variation on a normal foreskin, which we're unable to remove. So, the itma. Rabba also said that Reb Yosef also said that, because Rabba said, when he was explaining Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that the reason that Beis Hillel says you need to do Atofas Dambris, and he said it in these words, we're worried that it's an Orla Kvusha. So on the tzad that it might be an Orla Kvusha, so there Beit Hillel said, okay, so go ahead and be Mativ Dambrit, but certainly not Legabe Shabbos, which is the way we understood it. But Rav Yosef seems to agree with actually the way Rav Ada understood it. And Rav Yosef, no. Reb Shimon ben Elazar was saying that Aliba de Beit Hillel, you need to be Mativ Dambrit. Why? Because it's Orla Kvusha. Well, he didn't say anything about Hashina. So he meant that it's definitely an Orla Kvusha. And I'll prove it to you, says Rabbi Yosef. Look, why do I say that it's Vadai Orla Kvusha? Because look at the Lashon of this Braita. Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar Omer, Lo nech leku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, Anolad Kishumo, Shetzorech Latif Bimenun Dambrit. Okay, so now we have the same approach, it appears, like Reb Shimon Elazar. You definitely need Hatafas Dambrit. So what is the machlokas? The machlokas would be the only legabi chilul Shabbos. Now this is Dafka Reb Elazar HaKapar. And there, Beit Shammai Omrim Mechalin Lavat HaShabbat, Beit Hillel Omrim Ein Mechalin Lavat HaShabbat. So now, how does this differ from the way that the Tanakhama had explained the Machlokas? It must be that that's the point. It was the Tanakhama, but then the Tanakhama said the same thing. The only difference is that the Tanakhama didn't mention Chilul Shabbos. And Rebbe Elazar HaKappar says that only Beit Shammai holds Mechalin Asher Shabbos. But Beit Hillel holds, even though you have to do it Bechol, Ein Mechalin Lavat HaShabbat. Okay, says Rabbi Yossi. So now what does that imply about the original way we understood it, right? That the Tanakhama holds that both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree not only that we have to do it Bechol, but they also agree that Mechalin Lavat HaShabbat, and that's the difference between Rabbi Elazar HaKappar and the beginning of the Braita that explained the Machlokas Aliba de Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in this way. So you see that I'm right. That means that there certainly is a way to understand it, like Ravada, and the way I understand it, is that if you're pasking like Shmuel, and you're going Aliba de Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's approach, then according to him, even Beit Hillel held that you're supposed to be Mechalel Es HaShabbos. Your opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar HaKappar, that you're shouting at me, what, you thought you were doing it like Shmuel, you weren't doing it, I was doing it like Shmuel. There's another approach that would say otherwise, fine. Wait a minute. You're saying that the difference between Rabbi Elazar HaKappar and the Tanakhama has to be that the Tanakhama holds that you're definitely Mechal Shabbos, and Rabbi Elazar HaKappar is saying that no, it's actually a machlokas. Maybe it's exactly the opposite. Maybe the Tanakhama says nobody holds that you're Mechalas HaShabbos. And then comes along Rabbi Eliezer HaKappar to say, actually, Beit Shammai holds that you are Mechalas HaShabbos. So maybe that's the pshat. And then it would mean that nobody would agree with Ravada. No. How could you say that, for heaven's sakes? Then what would that mean? That Rabbi Eliezer HaKappar was only coming for one purpose. You say nobody says you could be Mechalas HaShabbos. Now, that's not really true. Beit Shammai says that you could be Mechalas HaShabbos. Whoever would say, what do you mean that's not true? Of course that's true, because if we don't, Beit Shammai B'mokam Beit Hillel is considered to be Lav Mishnah. So you're going to come along and you're going to argue with somebody who says nobody else could be Mechalas HaShabbos, and you'll say, no, Beit Shammai holds you could be Mechalas HaShabbos. Remember, it is such a thing. Rabbi Eliezer HaKappar is coming to teach me the din of Beit Shammai that he's disagreeing as if it's Nogeya. It's not Nogeya. No. See, Rabbi Yosef, there's an alternative. You're saying it's either that they both agree. You're saying that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai both agree that you're Mechal and it's a Shabbos. Or they both agree that they're not Mechal and it's a Shabbos. But maybe what Rabbi Eliezer HaKappar said to the Tanakhama was that there never was such an issue. In other words, it could be that the Tanakhama never actually agreed with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which is the way Rabbi Yosef was taking the whole thing. Well, certainly agreeing with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and now the only question is, what's the Lagabe Chol Shabbos? It could be that the truth is that everybody holds. You do not, certainly do not do any Chol Shabbos. And the question actually is, not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. In other words, everybody holds that there never was a machlokas about this. They were only arguing about a different issue completely. Certainly, you need to do it, but only during the week. So that would be the point. And lo nechleku Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel bedavar zeh. And therefore, the Beis Hillel is saying you can't, and Rabbi Shammai is saying you can, but I am coming to address what the din is aliba the Beit Hillel, not Aliba the Beit Shammai, because the Tanakhama had said that Beit Hillel say you don't need Atofas Dambres, even Bechol. Comes along Rabbi Eliezer HaKappar and say, no, that's not what they argued about. She was basically talking about Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, but the way we understand it, not the way you understand it, Rabbi Yosef. So therefore, there's no right. I mean, I'm not sure that that's the way to understand the Braita, but it might be. And if it might be, we do not have a riot to Rabbi Yosef, so this issue still stands. Now, here's another amazing halacha. Rabbi Asi says, remember that the entire idea, stop. The entire idea of the dinim of Mila are remarkably brought in Parshas Tazria. And in Tazria, the whole Parsha begins with the din of Tumas Leda, right? So, the Tumas Shivat Yamim, as a matter of fact, as we pointed out before, the use of the word B'yom HaShmini is based on the interrelationship between the Shivas Yemei Tuma of Leda and the Yom HaShmini, because that's the only reason that the word Yom, Afilu B'Shabbat, is extra at all, you see? So there's obviously a relationship between those two halachas. Rav Asi takes it like one step further in an enormous chiddush, and he says that it actually defines the chiyuv of Mila. So if the mother was Tmeya Leda, so then the child gets a bris on the eighth day. But if the mother was not Tmeya Leda, that there is no din of Yom HaShmini at all. Amazing. So let's say she had a Caesarean. If she had a Caesarean, there's no Tumas Leda. And therefore, there's no din of a Bris Mila on Yom HaShmini. Amazing. You could have even another case where she did have a normal delivery, and at the time of her delivery, she wasn't Jewish. If she wasn't Jewish, she wasn't Tmeya Leda. Then she goes ahead and she's mitgayera together with the child. So then there's no din of Yom HaShmini. So that would mean that the chiyuv would be, as soon as you're able, in terms of health, to do the bris. Because look at the pasuk. Ishaki tazria v'yolda zachar v'tama shivat yamim, etc., etc. Uva Yom HaShmini imo b'sara lato. So they're interrelated. Says Abaya, that's crazy. And Avram Avinu, I understand, was Sora Tmeya Leda? There was no din of Tumas Leda before the Torah was given with the din of Tuma. Did the Torah say Ben Shmonat Yamin? I mean, what about the original mitzvah Mila? Couldn't possibly have been linked to the din of Tumas Shiva for Leda. So over there, Dorot HaRishonim Yochichu, She'inimo Tmeya Leda, and nonetheless, there's a Chiyav of Yom HaShmini. So how can Rav Asi claim that the two are related? Says Rav Asi, I understand what your problem is. What, just because we have an initial chiyuv of Mila that was given to Avram Avinu, is that why we keep the mitzvah of Mila? We keep the mitzvah of Mila because Moshe Rabbeinu was betzava the mitzvah of Mila in the Torah, not because we have a tradition from our forefather, the great Abraham. It has nothing to do with that. So nitnat Torah, once the Torah was given, it redefined Mila. Vinitkacha halacha, what's the big deal? So you can't bring me a raya from them. Fine. Now, in the case that we have, of two cases that we had, of where it would be possible to have a woman who would not be Tmeya Leda. Okay, so then that would give us some serious nafkaminas. Let's see if they're true. Okay, Yotzei Dofen. Now, we know that it says that a Yotzei Dofen, so if the child was born by a Caesarean, or suppose a child has two penises, this is one interpretation, which is the more reasonable interpretation, because to say shtei aralot means one foreskin on top of another foreskin. I mean, why would we not have to remove both foreskins? But okay, there is an approach among the Rishonim that we're not talking about two actual penises. We're talking about just one foreskin on top of the other, and that it's based on Arlato, which would mean one foreskin. Fine, possibly. But what we might have over here is a mutation in which, like, you have an extra finger, which we say over there, the question is that finger considered to be a finger? It would depend if it's in the dare of the etzba'ot or not. Certainly, there's no such thing as a dare of milais. So one of these penises is basically not real, and we'd have to surgically remove it. But the bottom line is that we don't know in that case, like, what we're supposed to do, because we don't know, Lagabi Shabbos, which one is really the primary real penis. So because of that, so Rav Huna of Rav Chiya Bar Rav say, look, even so, you can be Mechalal Shabbos for him in both of these cases. Ooh, aha. But one of those cases was Caesarean, which means that apparently, even though it's now Tumas Leda, you're Mechalal Shabbos. Okay, now, the only machlokas over here, excuse me, Ravasi, only machlokas over here is not whether nola lishmona, right? It's actually, for sure, nima lishmona, vaday ma'alinan le. Nobody argued about that. The only machlokas between Ravuna and Rav Chiya Bar Rav is whether you're supposed to even be Mechal Shabbos. You said that there's not even a din of Nima Lishmini. So, I mean, apparently nobody agrees with you. Answer Rav Asi, what do you mean nobody agrees with me? That's the whole point, isn't it? Haba Atalia. In other words, the reason that there would be no Chilul Shabbos is gufa because there's no din of Yom HaShemini. What was the mocker of Chilul Shabbos? Mila Bismana Biyom Afilo Bishabbos, right? So since according to me, if the child was born by Caesarean, there is no din of Yom HaShemini, that's exactly why there's no mitzvah to do the Mila on Shabbos. And so on the contrary, so it agrees with me. Kitanoi. Actually, it turns out that what Rav Asi says seems to be a machlokas tanoim. Here's the machlokas tanoim. Now, before we get to this, we need to remember a very fascinating thing. That is, we because of the fact that we don't really have this nogea bizman hazeh, because we don't have avodim, so because of that, we've sort of forgotten the entire halacha. But remember that we have two places in the Torah where there is a chiv to be mal, not only your children, but you are mechiv in mila of your avodim. Now, that appears two times. It appears originally when it's given over to Avram Avinu. So he's told, himol, yimol, yelid, betcha, umiknat, kaspecha. And it just says, himol, yimol. Doesn't say anything about ben shmonat yamim. Then, in the other pasuk, it says, Uben shmonat imol lachem kol zachar ledorotechem yelid bayit umiknat kesef. So now what's the deal? Is the halach of yelid bayit umiknat kesef, is that a din in shmini? Or is that just a halach of it? If you own an eved, you have to mal that eved right away. So it turns out that by analyzing the two psukim, if we look carefully, we could see that in the ben shmonat yamim, it says lachem, from which we can derive that there would be a type of Yelid Bayit and a Miknat Kesev which would be similar to the Lachem and therefore would require Mila Bishmini. And then there's a different type of Yelid Bayit and Miknat Kesev which cannot be seen as being similar to the Lachem and therefore would just be a din as soon as you've got it. That's when you're mechuyev to do the Mila, and that it is actually not a function of Shmini at all. So let's see what those two possibilities would be like, because they're obviously, we need to figure out, the Torah is giving us two completely different dinim. So the Braita speaks it out. So the Braita says like this, look, there's such a thing as Yelid Bayit that can be Nima Le'echad. That's the pasuk of where it just says, to be Mal Yelid Betcha Miknat Kaspecha. It doesn't say Shmini. But there's also Yelid Bayit that is Nima Le'shmona. Same thing is true about a Miknat Kesef. There's a miknat kesef where you bought the eved, where you'd buy him and you'd have to go ahead and be malim on the first day. And there's also a miknat kesef where you would only be malim on the eighth day. Now, let me explain to you the cases, okay? There's a miknat kesef, which is nima le'achad, a miknat kesef that is nima le'shmona. How do I explain that? Simple. Suppose you went ahead and you bought a shivcha mu'uberet. So you buy a pregnant woman and she gives birth to a child in your home, then even though you had already bought that fetus at the same time that you bought the mother, so that's a miknat kesev, but since it was born in your home and it's like similar to the way you would actually have a child because it's born to a woman who now has a din of a Jew, because once she's bought by you and you're toivel her and so on, we'll talk about the tefillah later. So then that is similar to something like yourself. On the other hand, if you would have taken this shivcha, sorry, I lost my place over here. So if you took instead the shivcha and the child that had already been born to her, so then you bought the child. And then that would be a miknat kesev. And as soon as you bought the child, you would then have to go ahead and be mal, even if you bought the child on the day the child was born, because that is in no way similar to you. There's no lachem. That's why we understand. If what you have is a miknat kesev, and it now is born, that's similar to lachem, because when a child is born in your home, you would be Malan on Shmini. Okay, that's what you have over here. A child born in your home is Nima Lishmona. What would be the case of a Yelid Bayit, a literal Yelid Bayit, which is not a Miknat Kaspecha, where over there we said there's also a difference, and now things get a little bit tight because we're coming to explain a Yelid Bayit that sometimes is Nima Le'echad and sometimes Nima Lishmona, right? And yet, we skip the case of the Yelid Bayit that's Nima Le'echad, and all we explain is that there's such a thing as a Yelid Bayit that's Nima Lishmona. And what would be the case? A simple case. You bought a slave woman, and she gets pregnant in your Rishos, and she gives birth in your Rishos. Well, obviously, that's Yelid Bayit HaNima Lishmona. Rav Chama says, now, actually, it depends. If she gave birth before you ever brought her to the mikvah, and then you take her to the mikvah, then that's a Yelid Bayit, that's Nima Le'echad. Oh, oh, oh. Apparently, because the question over here is it similar to the Leida that would be in Beitcha? Because over here, we said before that if she is not Tamei Leida, and if you never had brought her to the mikvah, so then that's exactly what Rabasi was saying. She's not Tamei Leida, and therefore there's no din of Shmini. Whereas if you were matvil her before, hitbila v'achar kach yalda, then since she would be Tamei Leida, then she would be Nima Lishmona. Perfect. So apparently there is a machlokas tanoim, right? What do you mean? You're trying to tell me that the Tanakama, in other words, the Tanakhama apparently lo shani lehi, doesn't care. Ben yitbila v'yachakach yolda, ben yolda v'yachakach yitbila. So that would be the shita that's against Rav Asi. Very good. Daf agav de eni mot mea leida nima l'shmona. So Rav Asi is really the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Chama. Now, something's missing in the Braita. I mean, Rav Chama just explained the Braita perfectly. He gave us a case of a Yelid Bayis that's Nima Le'echad. And he gave us a case of a Yelid Bayis that's Nima Le'shmona. He gave us a case of a Miknat Kesev that's Nima Le'echad. And he gave us a case of a Miknat Kesev that's Nima Le'shmona. And he explained it as basically Yalda V'achar kach Yitbila is Yelid Bayis Nima Le'echad. Yitbila kach Yalda, that's Yelid Bayis Nima Le'shmona. And then we had the two cases of Miknat Kesev. It depends whether she was pregnant when you bought her or whether she gave birth when you bought the child. Fine. That's wonderful. I understand all of these cases. They're very good. Okay. And that case was going to look at. And what about the case? This question of this piece is left out, as Rashi brings from the Shiltas, because what does not seem to be necessary. Because we're talking about here, Miknat Kesev Nima Le'echad is a case where one guy buys the mother and one guy buys the fetus, where over there, it's only where it's Lachem, it has to be similar to you, and over here, it's not similar to you because you don't have any shaykhs to the mother and you just have shaykhs to the child. In the gears of the Sheiltas, this is taken out because it doesn't seem to be necessary. But according to the Tanakhama, if you're telling me, he disagrees with Rav Asi, right? And he holds it doesn't make any difference whether you did the tefillah before and therefore she's Tamei Leida, or you didn't do the tefillah before and she's not Tamei Leida, it would always be Nima Lishmona. Okay, so can you please tell me the case where if there is you said there's even a Yelid Bayis, that's Nima Le'echad. You never said that case. You sort of stuffed it under the carpet and you never explained it. And the truth is that we're missing something over here because according to the Tanakhama, Bishlama Kulu Mishkachatlu, the three out of four cases, yes, he explained very well, but he never explained the case of a Yelid Bayit, Nima Le'echad. Can you please explain to me what the case would be? Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, yes, I can explain what the case would be. The case would be you buy the mother not as an owner of the mother, but you buy the mother for the rights to her fetus. That's what we're talking about over here. So that's like a kinyan of the peirot, that's called. You buy something. It's like I buy the rights of the peirot that grow on this tree. So I don't own the tree, but I have like a lien on the tree for the peirot. So then that could be the case over here. I bought the rights to this birth, in which case the birth is in my home, but it's in no way similar to the lachem because I have no connection to the mother. And because of that, I would have to do the mila on Yom Rishon. So that's the case. Works out beautifully, says the Gemara. Not necessarily does it work out beautifully. Because there's a big machlokas about what the din is when somebody does that kind of purchase. That's called kinyan peirot. Do kinyan peirot give you any rights to the actual property, which makes a big nafkamina on dinim of your chiyav lagabe the property? So that's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, a famous machlokas, that if you have the rights to the peirot, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you actually have rights in the goof of the karka. But what if you hold, according to the Mandiyomer, kinyan peirot ki kinyan aguf, Tommy? So then if you would hold that, what are you going to say? Once you got the rights to the vlad, that gives you rights to the mother. So why isn't that the case of the lachem? And you would be mukhiyev to do mila bishmini, and that means we are still missing one case, according to the Tanna Kamma, if it doesn't make any difference whether Imo was Tmeya Leda or not. Omer of Misharshia, the din would be very simple. You buy a shivcha, and you make a t'nai at the time of the purchase that you are not going to be madbila l'shem avdus. Now, the Gemara says elsewhere, if the original purchase is done with that understanding, then you have a right to keep the eved for a long period. Normally, we only give you 30 days before you are matbil the eved. Over here, because of that, she ended up becoming pregnant while she was in this matzav of not being yours in order to be matvil, in which case she's never going to have the dinim of a Jew, of a Jewess. So because of that, that is bechalal not similar to the lachem, and if it's not imo lachem, then it becomes the simple din, mila, whenever it's possible. And that would be even on the Yom Rishon.